Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Friday morning to you. Still to come on the program from Alabama today, April Marie Fogle. She joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, as well as former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley. He'll be called in at the bottom of the hour in the 11 o'clock hour. So please, if you would, stay tuned for that. I want to introduce my next guest. Very excited about my next guest. I've been reading him and seeing him on Fox News and talk radio for years. Dr. Shelby Steele joins us on the program. Dr. Steele, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Dr. Steele, there's a lot going on, in the realm of politics, in the realm of race politics, in a presidential election cycle here. From start to finish, the unrest in the streets and tying all that to racial strife in America. I mean, it seems like it's really getting played up right now, just in time for a presidential election.
Yes, just in time for to collect some votes. Race in America has a lot to do these days, not with injustice, but with power. And there's so much power in that issue. You see this in the whole situation in Louisville, Kentucky, and as you say, elsewhere in the country. Behind that is, if I can somehow, as if I'm a candidate, and if I can somehow get in there and identify with the victimization of blacks or other groups, then that's power. That redounds to me. I'm going to get some votes. I'm going to have some clout on the American political scene. You almost have to tip your hat to race at this point in order to do well.
Does it seem to you though that the real problems are economic, maybe, but they're being portrayed as race problems? Do you get the sense that maybe that really is where the root of the problem, quote unquote problem, is?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the root of the problem is in education and economics. And understandably so. You can't come out of four centuries of oppression where you've been held down and then all of a sudden be able to compete. And so the biggest problem that I think black America faces is the same one it's faced for some time. We're underdeveloped in comparison to other groups, and that's the problem. The problem is fixable, and it doesn't have anything to do with racism. It has to do with the fact that we keep looking at racism as though that's the problem, when in fact it's our underdevelopment that we have to overcome. And I would love to see all of our energies devoted to that, rather than continuing to harp on racism. Racism is an avoidance now of the real problems.
Well, does it seem, though, the solution necessarily isn't a government solution? Yet, whenever we talk about these issues, we always go to this default position. Well, what can we do from a policy standpoint? Is the idea maybe cultural? What do you think? Really, where do you address this at? Where do you take this head on?
Well, I think that, one of the problems is that we're afraid to, when we're talking about race, everybody's scared to death. That whites are scared they're going to be labeled a racist if they say what they really think. Minorities are afraid they're going to be seen as an Uncle Tom if they say what they really think. And so the truth never gets spoken, or very, very rarely gets spoken. But from my point of view, and I've thought about this for many years, the only way for minorities that have coming out of, again, the centuries of oppression, the only way to get ahead is to take responsibility for getting ahead, and for saying we are, regardless of what the rest of society thinks, we're going to overcome this problem. We're going to focus on education. We're going to compete with other groups. We're going to join America and become a part of America and benefit from that. But we're the ones who are responsible for developing and equality at this point. One, I think, of the untold stories in America in recent history is the fact that whites have, in fact, changed in many ways. I grew up in a segregated world. It's not segregated anymore. There's certainly some racism still here, but to focus on it at this point is to avoid the real problems.
Well, and that, you know, the problem seems to persist. At least we're told it persists because of the political element here. And as long as the political element is there, that there's like that perverse incentive, it gets votes, it gets all the attention. Can you really have that quote unquote honest conversation about race in America with the political reward kind of hanging over it?
It's difficult. It's risky. But it is a problem. It's the reason race keeps plaguing us is we can't speak honestly about it. And so here's one of the really obvious things. It's obvious in life that if you want to get ahead, you want to do better, you have to be the engine that drives that force, that drives you to achieve that. You can't wait around for other people to do it. You can't protest your way to get other people to sympathize and help you out. You have to take responsibility for it yourself. There's not a single politician that I'm aware of anywhere in America at this point who can say to Black America, what happened to you is tragic and horrible, and yet you are the only people who can redeem you, who can bring you up into equality with all others. Equality now is in your lap. Whether that's fair or whether it's not fair, let's say it's not fair, it's still true. It's in your lap. You're the only one who can make it happen. Well, can't say that.
you can't say it.
Nobody then, we're focused on all sorts of weird things, policing and other issues that don't have anything to do with the real problems.
Right, and it's going, it seems to me, and maybe this is just my perception, it seems like things are going, are backtracking a little, and you're hearing more and more than ever discussions about reparations and things of that nature. While we could have a discussion about the merits of what can be done on that front, if that's legitimate or not, the net effect while we're having that discussion is that then you're really building up, you're bolstering that victim mentality even more and more and more.
That's absolutely right, and that's the whole point. These civil rights groups today, Black Lives Matter and so forth, what they're trying to do when they're talking about systemic racism is expand the victimization of Blacks. They're trying to say Blacks are just horribly victimized by white racism in every single aspect of American life, and therefore, they are entitled. It's this sort of formula. The more victimization, the more entitlement Blacks have. The more America owes them. Our victimization, ironically today, our victimization as Blacks is our power in American life. We just keep screaming racism, and America keeps trying to do better and give us things. We've spent $22 trillion since the late 60s on social programs, and Blacks today are farther behind than they ever were. My argument is because we keep thinking that our victimization is our power, when it's not. It'll be the death of us. It's what's going to bring us down. But again, though, it's very, very difficult to get certainly not in politics are we going to get an honest discussion of all this.
Joined by Dr. Shelby Steele here on the program. Dr. Steele, Joe Biden, we're in the middle of this Supreme Court debate right now, and we got a list of potential nominees, potential picks from Donald Trump. All we've gotten from Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden is that he is committed to nominating the first African-American woman to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's spot. What are your thoughts on that approach?
Well, I mean, it breaks my heart. I've been involved in the civil rights struggle since I was a little boy in the 19 with my parents in the 50s in Chicago, to think that what we fought for was so that some candidate could say that he's doing, ask for power, ask for the presidency itself, based on his argument that we should have a black woman on the Supreme Court. Our whole goal in the civil rights struggle was to get beyond race. Race is not an entitlement. It is not. Here's the thing that it seems to me we've lost touch with. Race is nothing. It has no meaning. Anytime someone picks up race and uses it, corruption will follow. Evil will follow. There's nothing good about it. There's no, it won't deliver us from anything. It will condemn us. So then we get a black woman who's in. I won't name all the ethnic groups, but what does that have to do with the ability and talents of an individual to sit on the highest court in the land? I don't want to live in a society that says your gender and your color are qualifications.
Well,
it's a backward. When you hear Biden say that again, it just breaks my heart. That's backwardness. It's 60 years out of date.
But it's almost as if he's that's just the world we live in with. Or maybe it's a misguided notion that he has to say that to get African American votes.
That's
he has
what
to check that box.
To do, yes.
And do you? I mean, for the most part, he's already got those votes locked down in these gestures. I guess they. Maybe they add to the sense that he cares. I don't know. It seems misguided in that sense that you've got to do that for that reason.
I agree with you. I think he's just insecure. He worries that he may in fact not have the black vote. There are blacks who really resent a lot of comments that Biden has made that, you know, you're not black if you don't vote for him, and this sort of thing where he. Been arrogant about the reflexive support that blacks normally give a Democratic candidate. He takes that for granted, sort of almost rubs it in blacks' face, in their faces. But that is, to me, a measure of how backward, get into politics here, but to think that you can run for the office and what you have to do is appease, you know, you have to have a black woman on the court, that's meaningful social change, is sad. That's not meaningful social change. That's the same thing they did in segregation. We have to, only whites can be here and only whites can do that. What's the difference? There is no difference. Biden is committing the great American sin, using race as a means to power. That is the corruption. It was the corruption in slavery, and it's the corruption in Joe Biden today.
Dr. Still, we just got a few minutes here left. Want to talk about your documentary, What Killed Michael Brown, out on October 16th. This sounds very provocative, maybe to some. Talk to us a little bit about what to expect.
Well, we wanted to. There's been a pattern in American life of shootings where a white policeman shoots a black, and the Trayvon Martin and Yusuf Hawkins and Freddie Gray and Michael Brown, and all the way up to George Floyd recently here, and then we've had, of course, in the last few weeks we've had more. These events that sort of bring engage the whole country, and the media rushes to whatever city, where Louisville is the most recent one, and to see what is happening. And I think one of the things that's going on is these events carry with them enormous power. And if I can rush in there and use the event to say that, wow, this is how systemic racism is, this is how blacks suffer, police break in and shoot and kill them, and they're victims, then again, that translates into real political power. You want to be on the right side of black victimization. And so we sort of explore that, and the falsehoods, the false narratives that are created, we call them in the film the poetic truths, where I will invent a truth. Michael Brown was a victim of white racism. Is a poetic truth because it's a lie. It basically makes Michael Brown into a victim. The reality is that Michael Brown attacked a policeman, hit him in the face, almost broke his jaw, fought him for his gun, finally charged him, so that the policeman shot in self-defense. Well, why can't we tell that simple truth? And we try in the film to explore exactly why we can't, and how this is the destructive pattern that race relations have fallen into in our time. And so we wanted to examine that and highlight that and let people see what really is going on in these events that where a policeman kills in one way or another a black victim, who again then very quickly thereafter we find out wasn't really a victim, was often the provocateur.
The film is What Killed Michael Brown. You find out more about it, whatkilledmichaelbrown.com. Dr. Steele, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was Shelby Steele with the Hoover Institution here on the program. We've got a documentary coming out October 16th. Y'all go check that out. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
They're always late, living by the drop in their dreams.